And do you guys like the one about the non-cons?
Yeah, I'm fine with non-bows. Let's just do stupid card, deadly sins, then non-bows as the third segment.
Yeah, like the dumbest episode we've ever done.
If only Cassidy had known that we would be doing the stupidest episode ever, as we ended up doing. I kept getting drunk off party one and going off topic. Cassidy followed my lead, and Calvin just really tried to figure out what the fuck we were doing. So I figured we may as well just present this in all its wonderful glory, so you're going to hear a lot of idiocy. Well, not idiocy so much as just, I don't know, weird. Alright, kids, enjoy the show. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to episode 30 of Off Color, where a segmented EDH podcast loves to focus on the aggressive, the awesome, and the serious of EDH or Commander. Like I said, episode 30, landmark episode, sort of, just because it's a divisible bubble by 10, and it's my age for about a month yet. So we got that going on. I'm Chris. I play EDH, and I'm a butthole. We've got two wonderful people with us here tonight. Let's talk to them. Let's say hey to Cassidy. Hey, Cassidy.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Yep, episode 30. Can't believe it made it that far.
Yeah, except we called one of our other episodes Dirty 30s, so we can't call this one Dirty 30s.
Could we call it Dirty-er 30-ers?
We might have to.
Yeah, it's already, you know. No one really cares. So we could just be like episode 30, like it.
Or else.
Yeah. It's all you get, like it or else. Anyways, you could always check out the articles on TCG Player in the Magic section. And they will be going on, even though we are going to be on a break. I don't think the break will last too long, though. I don't know. Nah. We haven't really talked about it, but whatever. That's all I got to say for now. We'll let other people talk.
I guess that other people is Calvin here.
Yeah.
Say hey, Calvin.
What do you mean by other people? This is Calvin, also known as Captain Resident on the Internet. Racist bastard. yeah, this is episode 30. After this, we're going on break, as everybody's already now mentioned, which means that you actually have time. Because like, if we're going to be gone for 3 weeks, that means you can listen to 10 episodes a week and catch up by the time we get back, maybe.
Yeah, we might do an episode before GP Philly so that I can try and get people to go to GP Philly and have sex with me.
By the way, we did upgrade the site, so it's easier to navigate. So
yeah, so you can post those SOAP shows if you want, or you can just give them admin. I don't give a fuck.
But that's not like, I was kind of waiting for them to post like a new one before I started transferring the old ones over there, but I haven't seen any after, I think, what was episode 8?
Not everybody can follow our rigorous update schedule.
Nope. Yeah, right. Like, our update schedule is, like, just so, like, on point. Like, Commander Cass has to copy us and learn how to relax. let's see. Yeah, this is just about all I can really say at the beginning here. I mean, you know, I've already plugged the past shows and said my usual opening skit and scratched myself.
That sounds good.
Yep.
Biggity bam.
Intro. So while we do it. So as the intro is finished, I'm going to go take these pants off.
All we do is win. The hell's going on?
That's me pooping on my baby.
I was going to say. Babies hate that shit, man.
I'm always tickling my kids.
Somehow.
Like, all you gotta do if you want to tickle a child is sit in a park randomly. Eventually, someone will walk by with a stroller. You can just reach up and just tickle your kid.
Yeah, it's perfectly fine.
Right? Perfectly fine.
Some dude had his kid, you know, in a shopping cart, and he was at the self checkout. And I was, the kid was just like, "Hey," I'm like, "Yo," and I don't know. He was saying shit, and I'm like, "Yep." Pretty awesome. And then he went to grab, like, candy out of the impulse buy thing. I'm like, yo, dude, you probably don't want to do that. And, like, the dad looked at me, like, sort of indignantly. It's like, yo, I was reinforcing what you were probably saying to him anyway.
Don't tell my kid what to do.
Like, nobody stops my parenting before I get a chance to do it before me.
Well, well, well. If it isn't time for Chris's stupid card thing... Here on Off Color.
Okay, beautiful people, we're actually doing one of my stupid card things again. Don't you love them? This is another enchantment. I'm going to guess 70% of the stupid cards that I do are enchantments. Mm-hmm. I think that's where they just have the most wacky design space. That's what I've decided. And this one's got the future shifted frame, so it's even better. 3 and a green for Muragonda Petroglyphs. It's an enchantment. Creatures with no abilities get +2/+2. So it's pretty much the sweetest anthem ever, because it only works for vanilla creatures or vanilla tokens. Recently, I just made a Naya vanilla creatures deck, so of course I threw this right in there. And of course it pumps those vanilla creatures like nobody's business. Cards kind of got a little bit of like word of mouth, just because there is a retard who loves vanilla creatures out there somewhere. But Cassidy, what do you think of this bad boy?
Yeah, I've seen this card a lot, and I always look at it, and I'm like, hey, that must be fun to play with. And then I'm like, never mind. And I just keep flipping past the binder page, you know? It's an interesting card. There's a lot of cool things you could do with it, I guess, but at the same time, there's so many creatures with abilities, even if they're, like, bad abilities or, like, almost non-existent abilities. You know, a lot of times they're there, so really you have to go with, like, the most vanilla of creatures, which, you know, it's not a problem, you know. You have that cool vanilla deck, but at the same time, it's like, it's a lot of design space to like throw away just so that Muragonda Petroglyphs is good.
And giving yourself a critical mass of vanilla creatures to make it worthwhile is probably not the way to go. Tokens is probably a much better way to go with this. So let's talk to our token genius, Calvin, here about this card.
Right, after Christian basically mentioned this card to me and started talking about how it works with tokens, the first thing that came to my mind is that this enchantment is green. So it goes right into your Reach to Redeem deck, which is green and white. Combine that with the new Selesnya, that's what it is? The green-white one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they have, like, the new populate mechanic for Selesnya, right? But Selesnya's main thing, basically, this time around from Ravnica is just put a token into play and then use this ability that makes another token. So it's kind of like playing another version of, like, Chalran's Command or Krenko's, what was that? What was the red one?
For Krenko's, it's Krenko's Command and Talran's Invocate.
Krenko's Command and Chalran's Invocate, something like that?
Yeah.
Or whatever. Well, you know what I'm talking about because you're more likely to play with these. It's basically just a spell that gives you multiple tokens, but it just has the option to give you one token and you have the option to make another different token. And since Reese is going to be making an army of tokens, this is a nice way to pump them up without actually having to. Well, you probably would still put it into, like, your other, like, Anthem effects in there that would give you, like, all your creatures with +1/+1 or all your white creatures with +1/+1. But in the same token, the good thing about this is that it actually gives your non-token, your non-effect creatures +2/+2, right?
Uh-huh.
Which means that your token creatures are bigger than your effect creatures. So the good thing about it is the majority of the creatures from your Reach to Redeem deck would actually be bigger than the creatures that you're using. And the creatures that have effects would probably just be things you're using as, like, token generators anyway. It's kind of like if you were to put this on a red-green deck with, what's that card? Thromach? The Insatiable?
Right? It's Insatiable.
Yeah, the Insatiable one, right? You have red-green, which means you can now play CGN Commander, and he'll be giving you four goblins instead of just 3 2/2s.
I think I would use, if I was going to go red green, I would use Ulasht with this, because he's the one who you can take counters off to make tokens. Does he?
Ulasht?
Yeah.
I have no idea who that is.
He's the champion for Gruul in Guild Pact. Ulasht the Hate Seed.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, the plant thing. Yeah. It looks like the thing that looks like the vagina of plants from
Alien.
It's
funny, like, Gruul's, like, Guild Master and Champion, neither of them are actually affiliated with the guild. They're just dudes that the Gruul people like, and they're like, yeah, they're our leader.
Well, that's kind of like the whole thing about Gruul, right? Is that they're barely a guild, if at all. Which actually reflects on how shitty red-green cards have been over the past couple of years, but that's just me.
And the only reason whatchamacallit is the leader for the Gruul, quote unquote, is because he's basically been like the biggest, baddest person that actually represents that clan in a way.
So he's like the Shonuff of Gruul?
Yeah, basically the Shonuff of Gruul. Like, who is the master? He just shows up, and basically anytime someone wants to fight him, he beats the shit out of them. And then they kind of just, like, kind of fall in line. But then again, it's not like he's commanding them to do anything, so they just kind of, like, respect him for whooping that ass.
He also has a really boss name, Bubba Rigmos. Like, that's, like, epic. You know what I mean?
Unless you don't say it all the way, then it's, like, Bor Bor. And then it's, like, the lamest thing on earth. Like, if you're just truncating it, you're like, yeah, this is my Bor Bor deck.
Yeah, just call him Bobo. That'd Bobo. Be better. Or Abobo. Yeah.
I've actually been running Mail of the Anima as my general for the vanilla creature deck to try and get card advantage by pulling the greater than 5 power vanilla creatures out of there, like my crawl worms and shit.
Skeldorm? Yeah.
I'm thinking that Ulash or Riss would probably be better, so I might cut... I should probably use Riss, because I could probably cut red out of it a lot easier than white, because white gives me ways to search from Murrigan to Petroglyphs.
Yeah.
But the thing about red creatures is that a lot of them usually have effects. Like, the red tokens usually end up being, like, dragons flying, or they end up being, like, an elemental with trample or something like that. Red has a tendency to make a lot of tokens. I mean, I think goblins are really, like, one of the only tokens that red really makes with no real effects outside of the humans from AVR.
And kobolds. I got no ability.
Oh, yeah, kobolds.
Oh, yeah, and kobolds.
Yeah. But, the win cons on my vanilla creature deck right now is Grafted Exoskeleton and Sure Strike Trident. Like, if I have those two cards out, I can kill a dude. Besides that, it's not really doing a lot. It's just casting bears.
That actually is a pretty interesting question. What happened, okay. Granted, this gives all creatures that have no effects +2/+2, right? But if you have an equipment that gives a creature an effect, like flying, does it still count them?
I'm looking at the ruling, and if you give a creature, if you cast flight on something, which enchanted creature gets flying, it no longer gets the anthem effect.
Yeah.
So anything, an equipment that's like the quivers or the bows and shit that let you ping. Like, you'd have to trade the +2/+2 for some pinging, apparently.
So in order to use it, you'd have to have an equipment that either the equipment does the effect, or the equipment just gives, like, a attack and defense bonus, but doesn't give the creature anything to do.
Yeah.
So it'd have to be something like, the swords give the creature protection, so never mind, the swords don't work.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
The harshest ruling is animated basic lands have mana abilities, so they won't get the bonus.
Yeah, I was thinking about that earlier. I was like, they don't really have a tap symbol on them anymore because they've just gotten lazy and stylized. But apparently that still counts as an ability.
you can still use Umezawa's Jitte with this, right? Because Umezawa's Jitte counts every time that the creature does combat damage and puts a +1 counter on itself, right?
Yeah, it actually wouldn't be a bad add for my deck because I haven't put that in yet.
Other cards that might work with this.
You know, actually, the first thing I think of every time I see this card is that one creature that's 8/0 with no abilities, right? Wow. because they're in my brother's binder right next to each other, because he has a lot of old shitty cards like this. And every time I see him, I'm just like, well, that's how hard you'd have to work to make either of these cards good. But the token thing is totally baller. How many tokens have no abilities at all? Beast tokens from Beast Within have no abilities. Pretty much only Eldrazi spawn tokens. Stuff that flies, which I didn't think about until Calvin mentioned the dragon tokens. So maybe even blue tokens would not benefit.
Force of Savagery, the 8/0, has trample.
There you go.
It does.
Oh, he does? What a loser. Okay, well, that doesn't work.
Yeah, you might want to tell your brother to move it away from the petroglyphs in the binder.
It can be confused.
But the thing is, there are a lot of tokens out there that have effects on them, but they're always evergreen effects, mostly. Like, literally, for the most part, they're usually evergreens, like flying or swamp walk or regenerate.
Counts.
One of the things...
Still counts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some like that skeleton from that. There's a burn spell. If you kill a creature, you get like a 1/1 skeleton that has regenerate. I mean, there are like abilities. There are tokens out there with abilities, but the vast majority of them are just creatures. Until you start getting to like the tokens that are like 3/3 and up. Because usually any token that's over 3/3 has some type of ability.
Yeah, like Angel Token.
Because they usually have like Trample or Flying or Vigilance or something. Like if you look at the...
Or their name Merit Lodge. The guy from Dark Deaths.
Yeah. But something I find interesting about this is Mycotic Slime? Right? Mycotic Slime is the one that puts, when it dies, it puts two tokens into it, where one token's a 2/2, and where they're both 2/2s, and they have the effect that if they die, you put in 4/1/1 tokens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
The funny thing about that is that with this card, the Mycotic Slime would start off as a 4/4 that splits into 2/2s. And then when those 2/2s die, they split into vanilla 1/1 ooze tokens that are also 2/2s.
Mycotic Slime always reminded me of like the big slimes in Zelda where you hit them and they turn into two medium-sized ones.
Yeah, I didn't have to reach for that. Like, you know what I mean? The concept is like right there.
Yeah. So I think what we've learned is that this is okay in tokens, but probably don't make a vanilla creature deck just to capitalize on getting a +2/+2 bonus on your vanilla dudes.
But you can build a vanilla creature deck and then use this if you want.
Oh, yeah. I highly recommend doing a vanilla creature deck, of course. But, so thumbs up or thumbs down, Cassidy?
I'm going to give it a thumbs down for now. I just, there's not enough applications. Sometimes, like, the stupid card things, like, we talk about them for, like, 10 minutes. And it's like, oh, you can do so much cool stuff. But this is like, oh, we talked about it, and it turns out you can use it on tokens. And, like, that was the one stroke of genius we had. So, yeah, I'm going to go thumbs down.
And Calvin?
I'm giving it's a build around me card in a singleton format. So unless you actually have like a deck that can actually operate without this, chances are you're going to end up having a deck full of creatures that just don't do shit for the most part. And what ends up, what the hell? Chris, damn it.
Whoa. Sandwiches look really fucking good right now.
What is that?
I don't know. Someone just linked it to me, and I'm like, damn.
Is that chicken, though? I mean, does it say? Oh, you just see the
big... Ooh, chicken?
I think it's baked chicken, yeah, right? Oh, it's baked.
It's like a hamburger in there.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I see the bacon on top, and I was, like, getting some barbecue chicken.
Chicken with bacon.
What were you saying, Calvin?
Sorry.
Yeah, like I was saying, like, unless you're actually playing like a deck that plays like tons and tons of tokens or can actually take advantage of it, it might not be necessary. And even in those decks, it would just be considered like overkill. Because, you know, you're already making like a million squirrels. Do they have to be 3/3s as well?
Well, I mean, do you tell Avengers Zendikar that his tokens have to be 1/1?
Yeah, I just stopped equating Avengers Zendikar into any like thought process because it's just like, yeah, it's good. I stopped playing with it, actually.
So. I haven't seen him lately. Have you guys still been seeing him?
Well, I mean, I haven't been playing him. I play against people that still use him, but, I mean, I have, like, 5 green decks, and I have, like, 4 Avengers, and I'm not using any of them, so...
But I do have a feeling that, like, Avengers Zendikar might be actually getting ready to go down in actual playability now just due to the fact Primetime's currently quote-unquote banned. Because, you know, you can't just, like, play Avengers Zendikar next turn, put out Prime Titan, and...
That's true. They were best... I mean, you could Tooth and Nail for those two.
Yeah.
And now you have to Tooth and Nail for Avengers Zendikar and...
Regal Force.
Yeah.
Also, now you can actually do Avengers Zendikar into Bountiful Realms, or Boundless Realms, which is, like, way dumber than this Prime Time. Because that's, like, at least, like, +8 or +7/+7 on these things, like, in one turn.
I think what we've gotten to the point is that... Even Avengers Zendikar making all those tokens, the fact that it's just making vanilla unevasive tokens isn't good enough.
No, I still think it's too good. It's just annoying. It's like, yeah. It's nauseating, in my opinion, seeing that guy. Even the art, it just makes me mad now. Like, when I see him, I'm just like, I'm so bored of you.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's like, what, 3 years old now?
Yeah. And he's easy to get for a really powerful creature, too. So, yeah. But it's just the other people, like, for a while, I wouldn't put one in a deck, and people would be like, why is an Avenger in here? And it's just like, what, do you think I don't know Avenger exists or something? Like, I purposely didn't put this dumbass in there.
Okay, so kids, if you like creatures with no abilities, and I'm pretty sure zero people do, why not run Murugan to Petroglyphs?
This, and you take her. Oh. I'm sorry, I can't, like, you know, dime on this while she's right here. I don't feel jealous. Okay. Like, I feel like a bad parent if I'm eating in front of my baby.
Why? It's not like you can feed her.
Yeah.
Get her on this.
Like, she, like, whenever... 5 months. Oh, no, no, but, yo, oh, she's only 5 months, yet she's got a bracelet to get in the family buffet for free.
I didn't intentionally make the damn thing small.
Yeah, but still, it doesn't change the fact that she has a bracelet that's going to allow her to get in the family buffet for free. She got a smile on her face when I say family buffet. Like, oh, that girl want to eat. She's getting tired of this milk and Similac bullshit. She's like, nah, I want some chicken wings and, like, some, like, rib tips and corn and
shut
stuff.
The fuck up, man. I'm hungry as hell. I had, you know, those dollar packages of salami you can get?
Yeah.
I had a sandwich with that.
Oh, shit, dude. All right.
I think I've realized The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is my favorite movie.
Is that Clint Eastwood?
Yeah.
I'll have to check that out. I haven't seen those yet. Good.
It's really long.
Oh, okay.
But I really like
Spaghetti Western. Yeah, it is.
What's your favorite movie? Like The Money Pit or something, Calvin? Dead Presidents?
Dead Presidents.
Trespass? Is it Trespass?
Actually, no. If I had to go with a favorite movie, I would actually go with... It'd be like somewhere between Blazing Saddles and...
History of the World
Part 1. No, but my favorite part about that movie is when, like, the sheriff is, like, they're all, like, got the guns on the sheriff, and he's, like, pulls his gun out and holds himself hostage. Do what they say!
Did they want Richard Pryor to be in that movie, and he just wouldn't? Like, I don't get it.
Well, no, Richard Pryor helped Mel Brooks write the script for it.
But, like, Gene Wilder is never in movies without Richard Pryor.
I'm not sure why Richard Pryor wasn't in the movie, but yeah. I do know that he was the person that was helping Mel Brooks write up the lines and stuff like that for, what's his name? The guy who played the sheriff.
Yeah. We don't know his name because his name is should have been Richard Pryor.
Right.
Still, South Park sure. movie is still
he a funny ass man. Well, he was a funny ass man.
Yeah, but not as funny as George Carlin was.
Nah, George Carlin was the man.
George Carlin was pretty funny, but... Like, he didn't talk about beating women.
Nah. He was like half hippie, half like rebel.
Nah, like, he had really bad roles in the Bill and Ted movies.
Oh, did you see that article on Cracked when he compared Bill and Ted to Indiana Jones?
What? You know, I read Cracked every day and I haven't seen that.
No, it's not an article, it's a fucking video from After
Hours. I watch the videos because... I only look at Cracked at work.
If you get a chance to watch the After Hour video, and there's like a video called Indiana Jones. I think it's Indiana Jones sucks at his job. And they basically break down how like Indiana Jones is the reason that the Holocaust happened.
I tried like because anybody can write for Cracked.
Yeah,
but I just never thought of a list article that hasn't already been done. But there's got to be some sort of magic thing out there that you guys could do. Not me. I don't care about that shit. But.
Yeah, maybe if I ever stop working for TCG Player, I'd take a hand at crack. But, I mean, talk about getting trolled by idiots. Like, you could not read your comments if you ever wrote a crack.
Oh, God, no, it's the worst.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's right. We're supposed to be doing this segment.
Lee.
No.
Wait. Did you in Jersey?
Yeah, they have chew in Jersey, fucker. We just don't use it.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, when I went to school, everybody had a skull ring in their back pocket, so... I mean, I'm assuming that's not how it was like for you. Were there skull rings in the back pockets?
What was that?
Well, you know how if you keep a can of snuff in your back pocket for so long, a ring shows up in the back pocket?
Yeah. No, we don't have those. We don't. No one here uses. I mean, we have it, but no one uses it.
It kind of tastes like pissed on tobacco.
It's one of those things where when you're in New Jersey, basically what usually ends up happening for your smoking concepts. First, you start off with like a cigarette because that's usually the first thing you get to steal from somebody without actually needing to buy it.
Yeah.
Shortly after that, you like once you actually have money, you might give chewing tobacco a try and realize it tastes like shit, and then you move to Newports, and then you go to weed.
Yep. And then, depending on
if weed doesn't satisfy your smoking habits, that's when you move on to other smokable substances and end up in detox.
Like, weed and tobacco are two separate things to me.
Yeah, but they're like the same oral fixation, you know what I mean? Like,
all right, people. Calvin, also known as Captain Red Zone.
We got for you!
Swag.
We back when we roll!
Into the Red Zone.
Swag.
We got for you!
Into the Red Zone. Okay, everybody, this is Calvin, also known as Captain Red Zone on the internet. And it is now time for us to finally finish the seven deadly sins that have been plaguing my, like, segment for, like, I don't even know how long. How long has it been since I started this crap?
I think we started on episode one.
Second season we started doing these.
We don't have seasons, man.
Yeah, like episode 12, yeah. I think we started.
That sounds about right. Yeah. So it's only taking us like
18.
Yeah.
It's taking us like 18 episodes to get through seven.
Yo, the seven deadly sins are legal now. Well, Pennsylvania, they're legal at 16.
What?
What, 16-year-old can consensually have sex with whatever dude they want in PA.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah. Well, the age of consent is 13, but there's a 4-year gap then. Like, a 13-year-old can't bang a 17-year-old.
Oh.
But the 4-year gap goes away at 16, where it's just fair game.
Huh. So what you're saying is that a 13-year-old can tell you yes, but if you're 17, you kind of got to be like it's like a mouse covering itself in cheese in front of a cat, but the cat knows that it has to wait until someone opens the cage for it to get to it.
Damn, you want some cheese real bad, bro.
Yo, cheese is awesome. Yeah, I'm surprised. I should be creeping 16-year-olds, I guess.
Yeah, like, I could just see you using your Skype photo as a way to, like, you know, try to approach the women.
Oh, fuck, I'm still the vagina, aren't I? Sorry about that. I was going to change that, but I forgot.
That's okay. Uh-huh. I got porn up on the other screen, so we're all good.
We should play... we should play a Skype role-playing game sometime. That's what people want to hear.
A Skype role-playing game?
Yeah, I run a great campaign.
Yeah? Okay.
We're going to play Changeling the Dreaming.
Okay, I'm really, really, really rusty on White Wolf.
Well, Changeling sucks. So.
Oh.
We're going to play Call of Cthulhu. You guys all go insane and die.
Sweet. I'm actually running a D&D campaign now, so fuck it.
Well, it'll be the first time I'd have played something. Well, we need to get, like, another person on here so we actually have, like, four people to do it.
Actually, not related at all. But I was thinking... We need to play some games on the cock where we each take, like, elite one or two cards from the ban list and build around them and see how it works out.
Yeah.
I'd like to do that. Maybe approaching Gudongs about it, of course.
Yeah, I was thinking we should even just, like, put the podcast up on YouTube. Because there's some podcasts on YouTube, and it's a pretty good way to get to people.
I don't know if we, like, to make it appealing visually, as long as ours is, that'd be a lot of pictures.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes they just leave the same picture up and people just listen to it on their phone, you know? Because YouTube's, like, the easiest site to get to check out when you're, like, chilling, so I don't know. I was just thinking about it. And other thing we could do is maybe just find a ton of, like, really disturbing images and flash them through, so...
kind of Fight Club-ish, where there's, like, a photo, but then out of nowhere, like, a quick bleep of, like, a penis.
Don't you have to be a contributor, though, to have videos over 10 minutes?
No, I think you can make it so there's, like, ads in there, and then they can. I don't know. I don't know how it works. Maybe. I don't know. I was just thinking about it.
How did I get sweat on my back from my armpit?
Yo, man, that's nasty.
What were we talking about?
You're a skinny-ass dude, too. I don't think we actually got started. I segued us.
This week we're going to be talking about the seventh deadly sin, and it's actually going to be love. Now, I know that a lot of people out there are probably going to be thinking, what in the world? How is love a sin? Well, in Commander, it actually can be something that actually is a detriment to your game. Simply put, as a quick example, I have a very well-documented but, you know, kind of bad relationship with a particular card known as Liar's Pendulum. Now, if you have no idea what this card is, I would suggest you take a quick look up for it. It's basically just an artifact. It costs one, and it lets you name a card at random. Or like a target. What is it? Hold on. You pay two, you tap it, you name a card. The target opponent guesses whether or not that card is in your hand, and you reveal your hand. And if the opponent guessed right, no, if the opponent guessed wrong, you get to draw a card. That's roughly what it does. So a lot of times, like if you play this card, it usually does nothing, and it basically reveals your hand to your opponents. And most of the time, it never really draws you a card after the first one. I mean, granted, it only costs three mana, but there's a lot more efficient ways to do things like that. And over the years, I've been doing the best that I can to find a way to use this card. In most of my decks that I've ever gotten a chance to try to add some draw to it. And I've come to find out that, for a quick comparison, Liar's Pendulum is like a bitten victim in a zombie movie. You know how this is going to end, and it's going to end badly, and it's never going to work in your favor. But for some reason, you just kind of have to hold on to him, because you just can't put Dad out of his misery before he turns.
Damn, yeah, when is that show starting again? Can't wait.
That show's terrible.
Walking Dead?
The first season was good. The second season was boring, because I feel like they had a 10 zombie limit per show, so they like sparsed it out over the entire series so they could have more at the end.
Yeah, it's like AMC shows don't have a lot of money, so I don't know why they would go with a show like this. Like Breaking Bad, they can do whatever they want. Mm-hmm. They're going to spend all their money on like the two set pieces that are really visual, mm-hmm. and then just have like the dad from Malcolm in the middle shout about shit.
That's a good show, dude.
It's. I can't watch more than like two episodes in a row, or I just get really depressed.
Oh yeah, I mean it's supposed to be kind of like that.
It's like this show is needlessly tense.
Yeah, it is, but I like that though. At the same time, yeah. Like it shows like skill and.
What I really like is that like Walter White is the worst like bad guy ever, and he hasn't learned yet either. He's like, I am the danger.
Yeah,
Skylar, we're in danger.
No, yeah, that's why I like him, because like
he's still like so out of his element doing any other stuff, and he's so bad at it.
Yeah, it's great.
Like I don't know, like the show sometimes is trying to be like a buddy comedy, and then it's trying to be serious as hell. I'm like, what are you trying to be, show? What are you trying to be?
Well, I think that's part of like the whole thing about addicts is that's completely unpredictable and stuff, and just.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I want Jesse to kill him at the end. That's what I want to happen.
I'm guessing that's what's going to happen. I mean,
because Jesse at least seems a little redeemable compared to Walt.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that show a lot. the train episode. Did you see that one?
Nah, I've made it through season two, and I'm like, God, I need to take a break.
Oh,
like actually, Hank's my favorite character, though.
Actually, after season two, it's much better, and it's a little bit more smoother. It doesn't have that like weird foreshadowing thing, and also season two had that weird plane thing with Q, right? John Clancy or whatever. Yeah.
And like Bob Odenkirk is a lawyer in the show.
He's actually one of the best characters in the next coming up season. So,
yeah.
Oh shit, man, we're so off topic today. So we were talking about love. Sorry,
love.
Calvin. There's quite a few cards that I love that I put in and use. Just because. Nothing quite like Liar's Pendulum, because like I don't love any cards that are quite terrible like that, you know what I mean? But there's definitely some like pet cards that I don't like taking out. For instance, a Willow Satyr. Like, I don't know if you guys have ever seen this card. It's really old, but it's two.
Is that colors. The one with the really creepy Nick Cage face?
I don't know. I have it in my Omnet deck. Let me check. I can't remember.
No, it's a different Satyr.
Oh, okay. No, the Willow Satyr is like it's old as hell. It's from Legends, so it's like kind of expensive actually. But mostly the thing about it is that it's a 1/1 for four, and like it's the easiest thing to kill, and it never sticks around. And its ability is basically to tap and steal a legendary creature. No, actually, it's a legendary card, I think. But anyways, you steal them, and then And then if it untaps or if it dies, you know, they get the creature back. So it's like, it's awesome. There's never going to be a single EDH deck that's not effective against. But then it's like, oh, I have to keep a 1/1 alive to hold on to your general. So
I don't know. I like Willow Satyr more than I like Sabo Tavok. Like, if you're going to do something that takes out legends, I'd rather it be that one than the one that just kills them and has protected from them.
Yeah, but Sabo Tavok is, like, big and meaty, so, like...
Yeah, it's not a 1-1.
Yeah, it's not something that's just going to be, like, getting killed and like, scaring the hell out of the table so much, you know what I mean? Like, oh my god, he's going to get it back, kill him quick. Like, no, he's done, I'm sorry. But, I mean, he's just never done anything for me, literally. I played that card for a very long time. I've gotten him out, he's stolen generals, and then died. Or, you know what I mean? They bounce them, and then they get the general back, and I'm like, oh shit. So, like, this is one of those cards that I keep using because I love it, and because I don't see other people use it, so it's kind of like... sticking to my story because I like it, but besides that, it's never done anything, and I only use it because it's funny and cool. So,
I mean, every card I play falls into this category. Oh, and yo, it's actually not a satyr. That's the Nick Cage face. It's an oof or Auf, the Niall Sylvain. I'm gonna link it to y'all.
Okay.
Whoops, that's not it. Oh, I didn't actually do it. There we go.
Let's see here.
What's this?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That weird.
Yeah, dude. Okay.
But, I mean, I can completely tell what... I can completely see where you guys are coming from, because every card in my deck is a pet deck. I mean, pet card. It's all I do. And... maybe I'm the one who needs therapist Calvin's help the most, because all I do is put pet cards in every deck, and I won't stop. There are some cards that I have problems with. Like, I put Greaves, Darksteel Plate, and Swiftfoot Boots in every deck, because I want to make sure my general isn't hit by, like, swords or something. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if that's along the same line of talk that we're doing right now.
Well, you see, when I'm talking about love, I'm not counting staples.
Okay.
Things like Greaves, Soul Ring, basic lands, you know, shit like that that you know that you put in your deck because your deck needs it. Or not because your deck needs it, but because it's just a really good card.
What about Diviner's Wand?
Diviner's Wand could be, I would consider it to be one of the things, like, it could fall into this category if you're putting it in the wrong type of deck.
Like a blue deck.
Right. Wait, what?
I don't know. I feel like blue can draw cards better than that, and it doesn't need it.
Oh, yeah. But, like, yeah, that's what I'm basically saying. Like, if you put, it's like the, for another example, like, that I have, it would be kind of like saying, okay, you have, like, plenty of enchantments, right, that can go into, like, Urel the Mistwalker deck, right? To the point where a Holy Strength technically isn't really necessary, right? But in the same token, you're putting it in there because you got to, because you're attached to the artwork, or it's a particular card that you actually think is going to, or, you know, it's not going to hurt the deck. But in the same token, it kind of never really does anything, you know, whereas like with a pair of Swiftfoot Boots or like a Whisper Silk Cloak, those do something. It's like, you know, at least when you put them on your general, you're protecting them from bounce spells, or you're giving the creatures haste. Or you have something where you can make your guys unblockable and you can try to do general damage, so they kind of actually give you something to do. As opposed to something that where it's like it doesn't really do anything. Hmm. But
how about cards that you put in, except there's way better ways to do it? Like in Xur, I put in Second Wind instead of Pemmon's Aura because I like the fact that you can tap the enchantment to untap the creature. Mm-hmm. And I also put in Soul Kiss because I just think it's stupid as hell.
Well, my comparison for that would be like, it would have to come down to a quick question. Even though you have better options that you could use instead of this particular card, the real question comes down is, are you using this card because you want more options, or are you just using this card because you like it? If you're using it because you need more options, like say, for instance, you're playing a mono red deck. And everybody knows red kind of sucks when it comes to drawing, except for, like, because we did, like, that whole segment about, like, red draw stuff. But the majority of that was artifacts. So you could see why you would probably put something like a Liar's Pendulum in a red deck if you felt you might need more draw. But in the same token, after you've hit, like, a certain, like, let's say your deck needs, like, 10 cards that allow you to draw something. Liar's Pendulum would be the card that's like card 12 or 13. I mean, there's two other options ahead of it, but you kind of put it in your deck because you want to give it a try and see how it works. But then you never take it out because either one, you never see it, or two, when you finally do see it, you don't get a chance to use it. And then your mind sees it and you're thinking to yourself, well, maybe I used it wrong. And then you try it again. And then, you know, eventually it just kind of stays in your deck. And it's like you're kind of like watering down like this particular card in your deck when you could have taken it out and used something else. But then you kind of get attached to wanting to try to figure out how to use it.
I see what you're saying, especially when it comes to like monocolor decks, because I was thinking about where my deck where I take the most liberties when it comes to themes, and that's probably my Darien deck lately, just because I'll put stuff in that like seems cool and on theme. The Empire's Trilogy is still in there, you know.
episode one.
Yeah, exactly. Just to tie things back. When you have more options, I think, like, it becomes harder to include cards that you love necessarily. And at that point, I think it just becomes like, for me, I was thinking of cards like Comet Storm as cards I love. But then at the same time, it's like, well, that's actually also one of the better cards in the segment, you know, of X damage. And it's also instant. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, at some point, it cards go from cards you love to cards that are like your favorite type of card of a type. You know what I mean? Like, well, there's a lot of different X spells, but I think Karavek Torch is cool because it's old school, or I like, is it Rolling Thunder? No. Well, yeah, Rolling Thunder is the X one that splits freely. So, you know, there's a lot of different versions of the same card that I can sometimes, like, choose one over the other. But for the most part, like cards like Liar's Pendulum, where it's like, there's a lot of other cards that do it, and it's kind of goofy. Like, I can understand, like, I guess I just don't have as many pack cards anymore. Maybe I just play too much, or maybe it's just, like, I play so much Magic against, like, good decks.
Yeah.
Like, because really when you think about it, the last time I played, like, casual, like, a four-person game is, like, pretty long time.
You know what's wrong with the format?
I know, right? I know. It's not because I can't, or because I don't want to. It's just I don't have those games available, you know?
Yeah. So. Well, like, my Karavek deck is probably the biggest defender of all this, because I run Karavek Spite. Because it's got his name in it.
Karavek's Purge is pretty good, though.
Yeah,
I use that in my
but Karavek's Spite is terrible, and I'll draw it, and I know it's just a dead card, because I'm not going to play it.
Yeah, it's kind of like playing like a Glissa deck, and you're playing, what is it, Glissa Scorn in the deck, just because it happens, and literally, like, the artwork is interesting, because it shows Glissa farting on a creature and murdering it.
Is that what it's showing?
Doesn't she stab it? I thought she like was violent with it, not farting on it.
Nah, if you look at Glissa's
she's kind of farting on it. You know, I don't think Glissa's Scorn is that bad a card.
Like, she is farting on it and it's dead.
Like, I could see if you were mono green and you wanted a second naturalize that only hit artifacts.
Yeah. It's not bad.
But I guess in Glissa the Traitor, you're blue, you're green, black.
Right.
Well, black has no way to destroy artifacts.
Nah.
So, I mean.
But my, like, not to suck my card effect deck anymore, but I also run every single org in that deck. Because I think all the orgs are funny as fuck. And they're mostly terrible.
Well, one of the things I want to actually kind of, like, touch on real quick while we're actually here, where in this particular segment for, like, Descent, Commander or EDH, as whichever way you want to call this, this particular format is pretty much one of the is like the premier format that promotes these type of cards, and this is the one sin that like runs rampant throughout it because it's a casual format. Now I know a lot of you pretty much got uptight last week about Primetime being banned and whatever the case may be, but you have to remember this is a casual format. And with this being a casual format, there's really no real reason not to use these cards.
What if Primetime's their pet card?
Well, you know.
And then they're a dickhead.
You can still use it, I guess. Like, I mean, like, I already told people I'm going to still use it in my Feldegrip deck. And quite frankly, I'm using it there because I'm using it to give you stuff. And if you complain about that, then you're not the kind of person that actually needs to play with me. Like, the one time I'm actually going to help you, you should sit back and just take my help. But, But there, like, but the thing about it is this particular format's like the format where these kind of cards run rampant in everybody's deck except for like the most spikiest of players. Like for Cassidy, like group, his groups play in tournaments, so they have reasons to kind of avoid these kind of cards. But for the average EDH player, you really never really have a reason to avoid it because, you know, you play it, you're playing with your friends, you're playing in your group at home, at your kitchen table, or at your shop, or downstairs in the basement at whatever the place, wherever you guys are going to troll it up at, you're going to take your cards there, play your favorite cards, and go on. But in the same token, it's like these are also one of the reasons where this is actually one of like the sins where if you decide to ever take that deck out into the real world, chances are you're going to be like embarrassed and whipped in ways that you've never been seen. And the main reason I'm doing this segment is kind of to try to help people realize like some of the things that we all do as faults. And if I was going to actually try to say there's like a way to fix this, the only thing I could even personally think of would be that maybe you build your personal pet deck that has your Liar's Pendulums and your Gliss's Fart and your
Throne of Empires.
Your Throne of Empire combos and stuff like that. And, you know, you have your like your green-black Gliss of the Traitor deck that has, like, all these artifacts and spells and abilities in it. But you kind of just use it when you're at, when you're with your friends. Like your closest friends, the people that you know that are going to probably have shitty decks just like these. I would say the best way to counter this in is to make a deck specifically filled with these crappy cards, kind of like what Chris does. so this way that you have a deck that has them, but they're not in the other decks that you can play. So that you actually have decks that can be used. Like if you want to get serious, you can beat base and try to win games. But if you just want to like lay back, drink a few beers and watch a very confusing game, bring it out with the other friends and tell them, like, you know what, I'm doing this. And maybe put it in, like, a certain color sleeve that, like, your friends might find funny, like pink or something.
Or one of those... There's some like, pretty erotic sleeves out there, Laura. It looks like it's Boris Vallejo art.
Yeah.
And you just throw that on top of it.
I have a...
Or like the clear sleeves and ask Andy for 100 giant sharks.
He's got to hold like on to slip. Those for what's that, contest and shit, right?
Yeah, I can't believe he's giving all those away.
Yeah, I know. We worked so hard to get them together for him.
Yeah.
Was that your closing? Because that sounded good.
Yeah, that was the closing I was going for.
Yo, vanilla Tootsie Rolls are the best ones.
Yeah, they're pretty good. I like cherry candy for any of the chewy stuff as a rule, but that's just me.
I'm not big on, like, the cherry starbursts are so, like, offensive.
I think we've had this conversation before.
Have we?
Like, yeah, you Jezebel, you don't like cherry starbursts?
I give them all to chicks and stuff. I'm like, yo, you can eat these ones.
Nice. That's like double,
I mean, give them to me, I'll eat your cherries.
Well, I'm not taking their cherries. They're too damn old for that shit.
Too damn feminine.
Well, banging someone who hasn't done it before, man, why would you even want to anymore?
Yeah.
They're so bad at it.
Yeah, I imagine. Like, I haven't had to deal with that, obviously, in over a decade, but
yeah.
I can imagine. It's like, eh.
Well, I mean, it's not like I've been doing it lately.
Yeah.
But I still remember.
I remember.
I've never had that problem.
When, my first real girlfriend, I mean, I had banged another chick before, but she was crazy. But, like, my first real girlfriend, I don't know why, we were using the unlubed condoms.
Oh,
don't
God.
Do that
why
shit.
Why would you do that to yourself?
Don't do that shit.
Did you just put it on the wrong way? Cause, like,
No. We were getting the unlubed ones.
Okay.
I don't think they even make them like that anymore.
Yeah, they wouldn't sell very well.
Yeah, I was putting a dry-ass fucking, like, balloon on my dick. And then I was just hoping my girl who had done it like 2 times previously with me, so it's not like she was getting all like moist or anything, was ready to go.
I hope that one stays in the show.
Oh, that's damn fucking poor girl.
Oh, God.
What'd she do to deserve that?
I'm mad at this card you just sent, Chris.
What?
This 3/3 with 4 regenerate intact.
It's got the Nick Cage face.
Yeah.
Like, it wants to rape you when you fall asleep.
The thing almost has as many green symbols on it as, like, a force of nature.
I've been really trying to break chroma lately, and that fucking shit is hard.
Chroma? Oh, yeah. Is that the symbols? Yeah.
Yeah, the one that wants mana symbols.
Yeah, but there's barely any of them. Like, maybe there's some old ones that have, like, retconned it, but...
That's it. Like, there's one, and it's like a white anthem that I think I'm going to have to use, but there's nothing that costs white.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically going to be white creatures. So I think I'm just going to have Isamaru be the general, even though he doesn't get the best bonus from it.
Yeah, I mean, triple white would be unplayable anyways.
It's
okay, I guess, but... Mono white's fun because you get to use, like, other lands to do stuff with, I guess.
And now it's time for Cassidy's Audacity. He doesn't follow the rules. Off color.
Today, we are going to talk about something that I brought up out of desperation, because we're running out of ideas, and that would be the non-combo, or as I call it, the non-bow. To be honest...
Sure everybody calls it that.
Is it? See, because I wasn't sure if that's something I came up with on my own, or if I heard somewhere else.
I've read it in Flores articles all the time.
Okay, well then, I guess...
Art for Mike Flores.
What?
Nothing.
We're going to just talk about stuff that basically doesn't work fucking all together. And I don't know how it's going to go because all of us have one idea so far. So I'll go with my first. And this is basically like combining cards that rely on your opponent's graveyards, like that ninja that steals guys. And then Rexxeal is a really good example. So, Rexxeal is blanked if your opponent doesn't have a graveyard, right? Well, technically doesn't have a sorcery or instant in their graveyard. And the thing is that you can combine it with cards like Leyline of the Void, so that any card that goes into your opponent's graveyard gets exiled. Why you would want to combine it? Well, you probably wouldn't want to do it on purpose. Putting a Leyline in a Rexxeal deck is kind of a sketchy idea. I actually had the even worse one in there for a while. What is that called? Nether Void, right? Yeah, Nether Void.
Yeah, no? I'm shaking my head in agreement, but then I remembered that shaking your head doesn't, like, confer audible tones.
Yeah. Can't you see that I'm agreeing with you? It's Nether something. I couldn't find it. It's not Nether Void, though. But it's something for a black, and it exiles every graveyard when a card hits it. So, basically, the idea here is that there's oversights that we make, and sometimes we think we don't think about, you know, we put together packages like, oh, I need a draw card, so I'll put Necropotence in, and like, oh, I don't want to discard my hand, so I'll put Reliquary Tower in. And if I'm not mistaken, when those two are out, you basically don't draw any cards at all. I can't remember. Let me check Necropotence.
It's Necro and Library of Lang.
There you go.
Because Library of Lang skips your discard phase, which is when you get the cards from Necro.
Oh, right. Okay, so it skips the discard phase. Reliquary Tower doesn't skip discard phase. So, yeah, when you're skipping discard phase and you have, like, a Necro in play, basically you're not drawing any cards. I actually just came up with another example, which is what I was hoping would happen. But let's go ahead and take the mic around the table here and have you guys talk about the non-bows a little bit. I've already given a little bit.
So you want to go next, Chris, or should I?
I need to actually... I might be wrong. I just reread Necro, and I know before it didn't used to do this.
Yeah, I that's why I was like, I gotta go check it out first. Card. Yeah, well, at the beginning of your next end step. So
yeah, now, it used to not be a non-bow. It might not be anymore.
Well, so what is Library of Lang has to do with discard steps, right?
Yeah, like if you discard a card, it goes on top of your library instead. Let's see if it's... So I'm just clicking. I just Googled the two.
Okay.
You can't use Library of Lang because you skip your discard phase. If Necro lets you draw in your discard phase, you are not going to have any fucking cards in your hand, you dipshits. Read the cards. But that's it. Like, they've eroded Necro.
Yeah.
So it might not be terrible anymore.
Okay, so that's not a good example. Although, pretty much every time I've seen anyone play a Necro, it's You know, we have to read the fucking old-ass Ice Age text. We don't have the benefit of having this shit in front of us. But
well, you might have you get the from the vaults one.
Yeah. Oh, is that what that's that is?
Yeah,
that's,
from the vaults one has the new Oracle text on it.
Yeah, and the enslavement picture only turned upside down. It's the same damn picture.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Actually, that's a dude like banging a chick, ain't it? The new
kind of, he kind of has his O face.
Yeah. She's like laying back, like enjoying it and shit. Although she might be dead, which, you know, necrophilia isn't out of Black's wheelhouse, so.
Like, I mean, it's not like the old necro art was like iconic or anything. It was kind of stupid looking. Mm-hmm. I do like necro impotence.
Yeah, I mean, that's how necropotence becomes iconic, is necro impotence. Like, you know, you couldn't look at the old necropotence or this new necropotence card and be like, oh, necro impotence, I get it. It's kind of like the how they redid the stuffy doll. You know, we talked about that a while ago.
It's like I would probably get a proxy where I just had the necro impotence art on necro.
Or just put it in your deck and be like, this is my necropotence.
Yeah.
Just deal with it.
Yeah, because I have a necro impotence, actually.
Oh, sweet.
And it's actually way sweeter than necro.
Yeah, I...
Kinda.
I can't even remember what it does.
It does a lot of whack shit.
It does dumb stuff.
Skip, necro impotence is skip your untap step. At the beginning of your untap step, you may pay X life. If you do, untap X permanent. And then you can pay half life. Because it's from Unhinged.
Unhinged, yeah.
When they had the when they had that ability where you could pay like half life and half mana. I think it's like pay one half mana and a life or something like that, or maybe one half of a life, whatever it is.
Yeah, it's just pay half life.
Yeah, pay one half. Pay half life. Then remove the top card of your library from the game face down. Put that card into your hand at the end of turn. Yeah.
I mean, if we don't care about ban lists anymore, I think we should just all run bargain anyway. And skip necro, because it's a pain in the ass. But non-bows. I actually have a really sweet non-bow, because I made a Worf theme deck, and I made Tognarth Worf in that deck.
Yeah.
So I needed another creature to be Alexander, so I picked Squee. But in this deck, I put Splinter Twin, because I'm like, man, it'd be sweet to put Splinter Twin on Tognarth, and, you know, just keep sending tokens at him. I forgot the legend rule existed, obviously. Splinter Twin is such a dead card in a deck that only has two creatures, and both of them are legendary.
Yes. Yes, it is. That's a perfect example of a non-bow. Completely on accident. And then, of course, once you find out about it, you're kind of like, nah, I'll just leave it.
I found out about it playing against Andy when I chanted Tognarth with Splinter Twin. And he's like, what the fuck are you doing? And I'm like, oh my god.
That's hilarious.
I forgot the legend rule existed.
I do that sometimes.
When you play enough Singleton, you completely forget about the legend rule, right?
Like, legends used to be made because they wanted to maybe push a card, and they didn't want to have, copies of them out on the battlefield. Mm-hmm. But I feel like now legends are only made, you know, as generals.
Well, part of the fluff, I think, mostly is what, like, you know, they're trying to build the fluff of the set through the legends and stuff. But they didn't used to do that as much because, you know, like, the big guys in the set, like Karavek, didn't get printed way after his story was over. Same thing with, like, Teferi and stuff, you know? So it's like,
except for Kamigawa, where everything was a fucking legend.
Well, yeah, I mean, they started doing that, like, right around Ravnica, I think. Or actually, I guess, like, even the ones with, like, Kamala and those guys in it, because, like, basically the story revolved around those guys, right? And they were all printed, so.
I feel like Mirage was probably the last big set that didn't really have a lot of legends that I can think of.
Yeah, I had, like, Talantor and Sidar Jabari and stuff like that.
But then, like, well, I guess Weatherlight Block had, like, maybe some of the Weatherlight crew. And then the Urza Block had, like, the Urza crew. And then Masks had the Spell Shapers.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, from then on in, it's just been Legend Pie.
In my mind, I look at the legends, and I still think that they're still using them as a, using the legend rule as a way to keep certain cards from being played by multiples in other formats.
A little bit, like, but then like, in legends, like all those legends were D&D characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is why they're all terrible. Like, yeah, I want to know what
big massive creatures
like,
with like no abilities and shit.
What Spurg Lord is like? My character is Barktooth Warbeard.
My character is Aiden Oakenshield. Yeah.
Well,
sure.
Well, the reason why I still think they did that with the I still think that they keep legends as a way to keep a card out of certain formats like that, because I think that's the reason why like Griselbrand is legendary. I mean, granted he is the demon.
Yeah.
But if they pushed him the way. It's like they pushed him really hard, and he ends up getting like banned in Commander. But he's like the number one tutor for like reanimate in like Legacy, right?
I guess we don't really need like two Talarans being out at the same time.
Yeah,
right. So it's like, you know, it's like they kind of have it where they use it as a way to control the way these things work in other formats. But it also has like this nice juicy side effect where. If you make a good one, a casual player will purchase a bunch of them to make and put them in his decks.
I'd be fine if they would lay off legends a little bit, though. Like they could put out an expansion with no legends in it, and I'd be like, "That's fine. It's nice. It'd be a little refreshing."
I wouldn't have anything to talk about. I mean, like sometimes they do that, you know, like Thalia from is it AVR or Dark Ascension? Like having four of her out would just like totally fucking wreck decks, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I think sometimes like cards like Olivia Voldaren, like, you know, it's the flavor part of it, and also like they usually give them really specific abilities that are kind of flavorful, you know. Like, there still are creatures that are non-legendary that are uber powerful, like Consecrated Sphinx and stuff. But
yeah, like thank God Geist is legendary,
right?
Or else there'd just be no way to deal with them.
Right, Geist and Thrun both. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Jesus Christ,
they need to lay off on Hexproof, man.
I think they were just like, we got a name for it. Let's shout it to the rooftops. You know.
I'm actually kind of thinking
like,
that they're
like
going to lay off.
Such a much better ability because it had a detriment too.
Yeah, but they've been doing what they can to get rid of the feel bads as far as Magic is concerned. And that's like it's one of the things why the Izzet Guild has all that stuff where if it targets you, it's only you and you get all good stuff. And if it targets your opponent, you only be it's always bad stuff.
I think they did Overload really well, but actually I think Overload's better because I used to I thought like it was like Kicker, where you had to pay the Overload cost and the spell cost.
Oh no, yeah,
I know.
Awesome.
No, but the thing about Overload is that if you look at Overload basically is the effect where you can use the card early, but you have the option to use it late game, but there's no penalty for using it late game.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Like, say, like, what was it, the one that does, like, 4 damage to all your opponent's creatures? If it said, like, do 4 damage to target creature, it would be just, like, another version of a shock or a lightning bolt or whatever. But then with the overload cost, it would turn into, like, a wildfire variant, you know, or, like, an earthquake. But they took away the target creature, and target creature you don't control. So now it's like there's no reason for there's no like you draw a late game and there's no, and you have enough mana to overload it. There's no reason not to, unless
right.
you're afraid of like a counter spell.
Well, I mean,
whereas,
they
like,
did print Blasphemous Act.
You had the,
They did print Blasphemous Act, which was like that's got a more of like a you know where it's equal on both sides. So they don't only do that. But they're
slowly easing away from things that do, like, everything, as opposed to... It's like, there's still going to be things like Wrath of God and Day of Judgment that hit everything,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of the things that, like, if they have the option to set it up where it doesn't hurt you without making the game too broken, they'll go for it, but they still want it to have, like, a certain feel.
Yeah, I feel like they just worked really hard on making the Izzet card so that they would be beneficial either way. But I don't think that's... I mean, they got rid of Mana Burn, which is a really big thing for, like, not hurting yourself. But it's not like they've been out there reprinting Plague Wind lately.
Yeah, I agree. I think mostly it's for, like, core sets especially, they're trying to leave that stuff out. And, I mean, most of the abilities, they just weren't... The downside made it so that you wouldn't play with them, and they want to make playable cards. So I think they'll still give you pain when, like, You know, like, they definitely kept that on the Blood Gift Demon. You know, he still causes you damage and draws you a card. But at the same time, like, most old cards that are just way too, they do too much damage to you, you only use those if it's, like Karavex Spite, because you want to, right? I mean, like, that card is terrible by today's standards, but back then in the day, it did something, you know what I mean? So, I mean, it's mostly they're just trying to make cards more playable, I think, and, like, have less useless cards, because there's... When you have so many useless cards in the set, if someone, like, is new to the game and opens a pack and they all suck, it's kind of like, well, fuck this game, you know what I mean?
Yeah, new players really hate spending life on anything, or, like, anything with a detriment. Like, new players probably wouldn't want to run, like, Ashes to Ashes.
Yeah, even though that card's amazing.
Oh, man, it's so amazing.
Yeah.
Calvin, what's a good non-bow? This is just turning into general magic at the talk, but
yeah, it's cool. Whatever. It's episode 30. They can take it and like it.
We're getting old.
You can take it and like it. The Nombo that I've actually used that I didn't realize was actually kind of a Nombo. I know I've been talking about this deck a lot lately, and I'm going to say it like right now anyway, because you know it's the first thing that came to my mind was Belthor to Defile, and I have a Noxious Ghoul in my deck. And one of the things I've always enjoyed about Belthor the Defiled was is that when I would play him, I would get back a ton of zombies out of my graveyard, and they'd all, like, slam onto the field. And because most of them, since they're all, like, black, it basically would be, like, all non-zombie creatures would get, like, -1/-1 for each zombie that came into play from Noxious Ghoul. But the thing about it would be with that, I would use it in, like, the whole board would get, like, -14/14 or whatever. And I kind of like wrath everybody else's board while having like a field full of zombies. But then I started realizing that at a certain point, Grave Titan comes in as well. Because Belthor the Defiled picks black creatures. He doesn't pick like black creature type or black and red creatures. But he doesn't pick like a particular creature type. And Grave Titan comes in, and even though he does make zombie tokens and he does fit perfectly well into a zombie deck, he is a giant. So Belthor the Defiled would actually take time. There would be times where I would do something and I'd get like Grave Titan on the field and have Noxious Ghoul out, and I actually cannot swing with Grave Titan because if I do, he will die.
That's funny. I bet someday they'll even retcon Grave Titan to be a zombie, you know what I mean? Like, just like on the sly. Because the Titans weren't good enough. They have to be like, they have to fit even more into everyone's game plan.
Could you see them doing another creature update at some point?
I see them doing that like in the, not like in the near future, but like after the Titans have rotated out of Standard and probably rotated out of Extended and got into like Modern and like Legacy and stuff like that, where you have the option to play him, but no one really remembers him as well.
Like, was anybody playing during the Great Creature Update?
No, I was out.
Yeah, I was
came
out
back
too.
And was happy with it. You know, like, woo, that's awesome.
Except El Hajjaj is not a legend.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a second.
Great Creature Update was like 2004?
5 or 4, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they still have to turn every single human soldier token into a human, so as far as I'm concerned, we're due, like, way overdue, so.
Let's see. Not a freaking Wizards article.
Huh? Yeah, why you're thinking, well, that's one of the nombos that I was, like, thinking about the most.
It wasn't until
like,
2007.
Time. Yeah,
whatever. 2007?
Lauren was in 2007. That was, like, 5 years ago now.
Yeah.
Damn.
So the Great Creature Update happened probably right before I returned. Because I started playing during Lauren again. But I was like, probably, I started playing like that, like right, it was probably right after the Great Creature Update when I started playing. And I wouldn't have noticed it then because like at that point, like I was still too busy trying to get back into the game to kind of remember what was going on to not even pay attention.
I left after Nemesis because I'm like, man, what the hell is up with Masks Block?
That's about when I left, too. That was when Pokemon was getting big and, like, the card stores were just not really fun to hang out around anymore. Just way too many goddamn kids. And, like, all the display cases were full of, like, $100 Charizards. And you're just like, I just want you to die, Pokemon.
I played Magic mostly in Study Hall And then
it's hard to find a Charizard Pokemon card.
I have one. I stole it.
But the stuff in Nemesis was just so boring. And then thank God I didn't make it to Prophecy, or I would have quit the game anyway.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, now that I look back at those cards, like, it's kind of like that's exactly why I was leaving the game. It was just pretty unentertaining. And like,
I tell you what, though, if they were to make another set where creatures were bad and spells were awesome again, I wouldn't complain.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind.
Well, after seeing your card from earlier, Chris, I wouldn't be surprised if they made, like, a effectless creatures matter set. Where they just try to do what they can to push you into playing like normal creatures with like, it would be like the set that makes enchantments matter because enchantments make your creatures do shit as opposed to your creatures just being awesome.
Well, Godsire actually just makes a vanilla token, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So your Godsire token would be what, not 10/10?
10/10.
Godsire has such bad art.
And then you populate that bitch and then you get like an extra 10/10. Ooh.
I'm on the. I don't like. I don't know about populate, man.
Yeah.
I like it better than Convoke because Convoke was an excuse to make shitty creatures like Auto Catan Worm.
Yeah.
It turned your shitty creatures into land realms.
Well, it was their excuse to overcost like huge. Like, why would you have a 15 mana 9/14?
Yeah.
That's because of Convoke.
Yeah.
Populate isn't going to give us those same problems, so I'm not going to complain.
And Populate, it's just like, I think it's just pretty generic. It's like, you just did Proliferate, and now we got like the exact same thing. Like, that's why I really like Overload a lot, just because I feel like, I mean, we talked about it a little bit, but the other abilities are just like pretty unimaginative, but like Overload's like, damn.
It's going to be a good limited format, but...
Well, my thing for Populate is that, like, I look at Populate... And I think of Captain's Call and all those like spells where you basically they're like an army in a can spell. Mm-hmm. It's like you're not playing it because you want to use. I mean, if you like, with most populate, it's like they make a token and they have populate on it.
I like the spells that don't make a token and have populate on them.
Yeah, there are a couple of those.
Doesn't the general
like that general does it too?
Yeah.
But, like, the good thing about it is, like, I look at the spells that have Populate. The ones that I think are the interesting ones are the ones that have, like, they make a token and they have Populate on them. So it's kind of like playing, like, say, if you play Captain's Call and you get 3/1/1 soldiers, just imagine Captain's Call being, like, a 4-mana spell that gives you a 1/1 soldier, but then you populate twice. So at the end, it's like it would be the same thing as Captain's Call. You could pay 4 and get 3 1/1s. But depending on how committed you have been to your token field, you can actually get like a 1/1 and 3 and 2/3 4/4 creatures, depending on what other non-tokens you have out. As far as like what's in the actual block itself, I'm not sure if Populate's going to work too well because it depends on what tokens are there. But outside of it, I could see Populate becoming like an interesting thing to play, especially like with, if you look at like the zombie tokens from the previous set and all the other stuff that they made for there, and like if you just look at like even like our format, because like you know the guy like the Godsire, like if you had a Godsire token as like as an 8/8, and you play like the Captain Call Populate thing, and you get to get like 2 free 8/8 creatures for 4 mana, and a little 1/1 chump blocker. You can't tell me that wouldn't be like awesome for like some type of like a like yeah for like a token deck. I mean, granted, it'd be like the vanilla creature deck that Chris was talking about earlier, but it'd actually be pretty cool.
Iron Woolly Thokdar in that deck. That creature's a beast in non-EDH formats.
What about Leverback Bailoff?
I used to, like, in kitchen table games, I hate that card so much, but I never have the triple green to cast it.
I always had the triple green to cast because I've only played it in mono-green decks. Well, like, turn 3, drop this bitch. Suck it. Cass, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there. Hey, what's that? Yeah. Anyways, so do you guys have any more nonbos? I just have one more, but...
Yeah, let's talk about your one more.
Let's talk about your last one.
Okay, so real quick, what's that one fucking card of madness that makes people skip their upkeep step? Like, I keep thinking, like, it's Descent into Madness, but it's not. And then it's like, Brink of Madness, no...
something.
We're going to find out.
Yeah.
Hey, baby. Hey, baby.
You made her cry.
Hey, baby.
It is Gibbering Descent.
Gibbering Descent, thank you.
And okay. If you have Hellbent, skip your upkeep step if you have no cards in hand.
Yeah. So, Gibbering Descent plus Honden of Night's Reach. Yeah. That's my nonbo. Those don't work together. All right.
So it seems like a lot of your nonbos have a lot to do with your upkeep getting all screwed up.
Pretty much.
What happens if you had like multiple upkeeps during your turn? Like, would you skip both of them and it still would screw you over, or would it activate twice? Nice. Like, if you had like Paradox Haze or something.
If it's got something that says skip your upkeep, I assume you're just going to skip them all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's
it might
all,
be a state-based effect,
can do,
though.
I'm trying to figure out for your thing.
All right. Well,
it runs Hondens.
Well, I think we've
just take it out.
We've kind of discussed the hell out of Nonbo, sort of in a roundabout way, but I'm gonna have to. We have to get going here. So, if anyone has any ideas about other Nonbos, something funnier, and if you actually could follow that winding ass discussion that I don't even really know what we talked about.
I'm pretty sure Faulkner wrote that.
So yeah, send in the comments to offcolorcast @gmail.com, or you can just comment on the show.
Hell yeah.
So let's head to the outro, bros.
All right. People, you've survived episode 30 of Off Color Cast. Hope you guys had a good time. We enjoyed recording it. I hope you enjoyed listening. I'm Chris. Easiest way to hit me up, offcolorcast@gmail.com. Me and Calvin read it. Hit me up on Twitter @ChristianReneau. Let's say goodbye to Cassidy. Goodbye, Cassidy.
Goodbye, everyone. Thanks for listening to episode 30. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm not even really sure what just happened, but, you know, that's usually how it is by the end of the
weird.
Show. Yeah. That's okay. I think we all knew that episode 30 would be the one where we're like, too tired to focus. You're 30. Deal with it. We'll be back and hopefully regenerated. We should just mix those into one word, something like Star Trek style. Check out the articles on TCG Player. I am @RightOrWrong on the Twittertron, and I believe we will still have articles going up by John and Jason, so check those out while we're on break.
Hell yeah.
And that's it.
I'll take us on home, Calvin.
All right, everybody, this is Calvin, also known as Captain Resin, around the internet. If you're looking for me, you can find me @CaptainResin on Twitter. You can always go to Gmail. You can catch me there, CaptainResin@gmail.com. As Chris said, you can always catch us also at theoffcolorcast@gmail.com, or you can also go to the site, comment on the show. We do check the comments. And we also have the Facebook group, which is Off Color Cast, has a Facebook page and a Facebook group. You can go check one of those out. We post the shows up there. And updates about when stuff comes up on the site. And
every once in a while, you'll see something. Pretty sure we're still on episode 22 in the group.
Well, yeah. Well, if you're looking for the current updates, you go to the page because that's what we usually use now. But
yeah.
for some reason, whenever I talk about it, I always say the Facebook group, but I keep forgetting it's actually a page. I don't know why. I guess I'm so used to saying group from before. But let's see. Anything else, fellas?
Sounds good.
Let's see. And don't forget, Beardy Plays.
Now we're going to run the commercials, so we're not worrying them again.
All right, then, fine, then.
Fuck it. Fuck you, Beardy.
Later, folks.
See you guys later.
Got y'all next time.
Yeah. Hey, guess which asshole forgot to run the commercial? Well, let's do it now. Hey, supermanly man and supermanly ladies. Do you like Commander? Beards, free stuff. But let's say you're at work or somewhere where you can't get your fix of any of the three. Luckily for us, there's Beardy Plays. Beardy Plays. Our boy Alex streams his Beard / Commander MTGO games whenever he can, and also does giveaways so that you too can supplement your MTGO Commander collection. If you want a piece of the action, head on over to twitch.tv / Beardy Plays and subscribe the ever-loving hell out of it.